we praise you and thank you for our children. Lord, how wonderful the heritage of the Lord. Oh, Lord, how blessed we are to have moms and dads and that love their kiddos, Lord, and they work so hard with all the staff, and they come out here and do such a wonderful job. I'm thankful for them, Father, each and every one of them, and thankful so much for Danielle and all the team that work so hard to do this, Lord. Father, somehow, some ways, you always do. Here we are and with the end of the year and Christmas coming shortly. Help me this morning to give a today word to your people, a word, Lord, that they need to live and abide in their heart for 2016, each and every day. And Lord, we ask protection for the mission team as they depart there to Camargo, Mexico, Lord, that you would just be with them, keep them there, and keep them on their way home as well. And that every need, those that are listening live right now, those in the overflow area and here in the chapel, Lord, we ask you to bless them and keep them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. This morning, please, I'm going to be in two places. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 and Psalm 1 in the Old Testament. Normally, we're in the book of Acts, and I won't be in back in Acts chapter 12 until next year. But this morning, I want to give you, if you will, a today word from the Lord. And, you know, I know that in 12 days, Christmas is going to be here, and I can already look out among here in the chapel, and your faces are so relaxed. That means that you've already purchased all the gifts in September. Amen? Yes, you did. And then I even heard how you made all of those handmade Christmas cards for all the people. You sent those out last week. And what was wonderful about all the gifts that you purchased this year, you stayed within your Christmas budget and paid cash for everything. Amen? Oh, yes. Now, you can repent after the service, okay? Now, it's possible during this time of year for all of us. You know, we work so hard preparing Christmas and we forget that what it really means. It's Emmanuel. It's God with us. Amen? And he's with us this morning. He's with you every day of your life. And Christmas is not about our giving. It's about what God has given unto us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child, his humanity. A son is given his deity, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. But really and truly, you know, Christmas, the man-made holiday, is not what we celebrate. See, truly, only a Christian, one who knows the Lord and knows the Word of God, truly understands the meaning of Christmas. Amen? See, we're not going to wake up on December 26th and go, Is that what was all it was about? No. Every day is Christmas for the Christian. Amen? And you know, we know what, that's right. We know what it's about because for God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave us his son. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin, born in a feed trough. That's what a manger is. And there he grew. And thank God he went to the cross. Had it not been for John 3:16, loved one, there would be no manger. There would be no silent night. There would be no Christmas celebration. But God did give his only son. Now, with all that being mind, I don't want to talk to you about Christmas today, if you don't mind. What I want to talk to you about is a word that we need in our hearts to go into 2016, because we're only 18 days away from that. So it is my prayer that your hearts be open and your ears be listening to the Word of God. Because see, you know, we look at the things today, look at ISIS and say, oh, Bill, this is going to be, don't depress me. I'm in a happy mood. San Bernardino, the horrible massacre. Think of the gun control and radical Islam and all the things that are happening. And many of you, you know, you've made New Year's resolutions. You say, boy, 2016 is not going to be like 2015. It's going to be different. And amen, I agree to that. You know, next year, we're on Tuesday, November the 8th, we're going to be electing a president. You know, think about that, how quick it has happened. And here we are 11 months away from that. And before we know it, we're going to have Hillary in the office or... No, I'm just saying, Trump, you know, I don't know, Cruz, I don't know what's going to happen, but God knows what's going to happen. But here's the thing, I do know this about America and many Christians today, And this is what I want to get us out of this morning. And that is, America is in right now, since the horrible events there in California, they're really, America has gone into what we call emotional overload. It's just too much that's happening too quickly and so forth. And what happens is our mindset then becomes like an emotional lockdown, if you will. And so some of you are saying, Bill, I just watched a great kids program about Christmas, and now you're going to depress me, and I wanted to be in the Christmas spirit. Well, you could be sitting at home listening to Blue Christmas right now. You know what I mean? Thank you very much. But anyway, no, listen. We don't have to be in emotional lockdown, and we don't have to be in emotional overload because we know what's happening, and we also know what to do because we have the precious word of God. Amen. We're not left in the dark. We can discern the times that we live in. The Lord has already told us the days are how evil they're going to be. Now, with all that being said, I want to give you a word for every day, beginning today and for every day in 2016. Amen. An everyday word. Now look at verse 15 with me of Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Paul the Apostle has been talking to those Christians who need to wake up out of their slumber and so forth. And so what he does, he says in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "See then that you, Calvary Chapel, each of us, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." And it tells us why to redeem the time, because the days are what? Evil. Now listen carefully. It didn't say that there might be just an evil month or an evil week or maybe sometimes an evil year. It said there that every day on this planet is an evil day with evil people doing horrible things. Amen? That's exactly what God's told us. So God just described to us an everyday word for 2016. And your everyday word is walk circumspectly. That word means to be careful the way you walk. Do it with exactness. Slow down. Look where you're going. Take your time and understand the word of God. See, a careful walk is a wise walk. And we don't want to be foolish in 2016. So in order to be wise, every day, beginning this very moment, we have to look at these days that we're living in as God looks at them. It says there, look in the word, it says redeeming the time. That means, the word redeem means to buy up. It's like if you go to Kroger and you see a bargain, you say, here's my coupon. I'm going to buy it up. I'm redeeming the time. But when the Lord says here about these evil days, he's saying, I want you to look at them just the way I am. Evil days are not obstacles, but they are opportunities for the believer. Amen? We know the time that we're living in. We know that we're living in the last days. So God says, I want you to go out there in these days that you have, the days that you have left, every day, I want you to buy up these opportunities, these unknown opportunities that I'm going to bring your way. Now, what does God want us to redeem? He wants to redeem those that are hurting. You know, those that are lost, those that need Christ, amen? And that's everybody. You know, next Sunday is our Christmas sermon. And for some, I know it's just going to be the only day that they even come to church. We're normally just overflowing everywhere with people. And, you know, I'm glad they're going to be here. But I also miss seeing them the rest of the year, amen? But it is our opportunity that when people walk into this church next Sunday, it's your opportunity to love them, to show them and demonstrate to them that love never fails. Amen? Because during this time of the year, many people they're sad, they're depressed. Think of those that we love so dearly. They've lost their loved ones, their husband or their wife or their family, a brother, sister, whatnot. And so there are those that are facing financial problems or their marriages are falling apart or whatnot, and they're coming next Sunday. They need a word. They need to hear something that's going to help them. Listen, Christmas is the easiest time to bring a lost person to church. Amen? You know why? Because they know that the pastor's not going to talk about money. All right, and they're not going to talk about hell. You know what I'm saying? That's my sermon next week. You know, hell and money, okay? No. So that means it's easy. Yeah, bet I'll go. You're gonna, you know, what are you gonna be singing? All the carols. I can identify with that. Bring them. Bring the lost. Amen. Bring the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, the prodigal dad, the prodigal mother, those that are hurting. Bring them and be praying for them. And did you know God tells us to do that? The Bible says in Proverbs 24:11, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. Now listen, a lost person, you know, there's a lot of great, good people in our city, amen? They're hard workers, wonderful people. But if they don't know Christ, listen to me now, they don't know that they're being drawn to the slaughter. Do you understand that? They don't know that they're being drawn toward death, meaning eternal death. They don't have a clue because they know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus personally. So it's your opportunity to bring them. Now look at verse 17 again. Therefore, that means since every day is going to be evil in this world, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, understand what the will of the Lord is concerning these opportunities that God's going to bring you every day. And in order to be wise in 2015 and 2016 and 2017, if the Lord tarries, is to know the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. Amen? But it's one thing to know God's will. It's another to understand it. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants to know it and to understand it. And you do that by renewing your mind. Now, with all that being set up, now that we know that every day we have to walk carefully in this life, I want you to look in your Bibles with me to Psalm 1, and let's make some applications. Psalm 1, how to be wise now in every day in 2016. Let's begin in Psalm 1, verse 1. God's word says this, blessed is the man. And may I say, blessed is the woman. Blessed is the teenager. Blessed is anyone who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, do you know it's one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible? It just told us what we should not be doing in 2016, in 2017, even right this moment. And blessed is the man, blessed is that person who walks. That word walks there refers to this. It refers to our everyday decisions. Do you ever get tired of making decisions? Man, I don't know about you, but I mean, I have an old lazy boy at home. I mean, it's just about as old as I am, okay? But it fits my body perfectly, you know? And it's all torn up, and Becky wants to, every year she wants to throw it away, but God won't let her. You know, and sometimes, you know, like yesterday, you know how you just want to zone out, man? I just was looking out the window, and I was all conformed to the image of my lazy boy. And, you know, and I was thinking, this is as good as it gets, you know? And I'm going, I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to think about a thing. But the truth of the matter is, every day you have to make decisions in your life. Decisions about your workplace. Decisions about your children. Decisions about everything is a decision, okay? And I said, oh, Lord. So the word walk there, again, refers to our everyday decisions, but look what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, in the advice, in the wisdom of the ungodly. Now, what does that word ungodly mean? Is he talking about murderers and stuff like that? You're not going to go to someone who's going to kill people for advice, are you? No, the ungodly. It must be speaking of Democrats. No, I'm joking. You know I'm teasing. Or Republicans. It doesn't mean that at all. It's talking about those people, those good people maybe, hardworking people, but here's the deal. Now listen, they don't know Jesus. He says, in other words, why would a believer who has God's word, has God's wisdom, and God cannot lie, his word is true, why would we run to anyone in the world for wisdom when we have God's word? Listen, the people that don't know the Lord, God loves them, but they're not being led by the Spirit. They're not filled with the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit because they don't know the Lord. And the problem is that God is not anywhere involved in their everyday decision-making. And since God isn't involved in their decision-making, why would I go to them for wisdom? Why would I run to them for counsel? They're not born again. Listen, a person that is not born again, the Bible calls him a natural, him or her a natural man. It says the natural man cannot receive or welcome the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. You see, a person who doesn't know the Lord, a good woman, a good man, hardworking, whatever it might be. But if you don't know Jesus, the problem is you can only welcome the things of the world into your heart, into your life. You can't welcome the things of the Spirit. Amen? So why would we take counsel from them? And that doesn't mean that a person that doesn't know the Lord can't offer wisdom or give good counsel. But what God is saying here is ungodly counsel is this: anything that would exalt itself against this word. Do you understand? God says, isn't it horrible? For here we are the creature, no, he is the creator, and we say that we know more than God. That, you know, my wisdom is greater than God's. God says in his word in Ephesians 5, he says, listen, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for. Did you know that's not a suggestion or an option? That's a commandment. Amen? Now listen, well, I'm going to love her my way. I'm a Texan, by golly, you know. And I saw how my daddy loved mama. I'm going to love her the same way. Get in there, get that apron on, woman. Listen. You just exalted yourself above the word of God. You're saying you're wiser than God. The world thinks they are wiser than God. The world thinks that you have all this wisdom. Well, you know, the world has knowledge, but wisdom teaches you how to apply the knowledge that you have. And wisdom, the Bible says, only comes from above. God's wisdom. And that's exactly what we need. So that ungodly counsel is anything that contradicts God's word. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians, someplace in 1 Corinthians, it says, I don't know. You know, listen, when you get my age, it doesn't matter anymore. If you make mistakes, I don't care. You know, I mean, like I told the first service, you know me, the cheese has slid off the cracker, buddy. So it's okay. But it says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians somewhere that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. We have God's word. It's God breathed. Now listen, the Bible teaches us that the word of God will thoroughly equip us for every day, for every good work. And without God's word, man is not complete. We're just living in this world on our carnal activities, our own flesh and so forth. You know, think about it. I mean, Jesus is really enough, isn't he? Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3, it says, in whom, meaning in Christ, listen carefully now, in him are all the treasures, all, not a few, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, God knows everything about everything. He knows everything about you. He knows if you're hurting right now. He knows if you're thinking, how long is Bill going to preach today? You know, he knows all that. He understands. He knows what you're thinking in the overflow room. He sees you. He knows you. He knows you who are listening live sitting on the couch that should have been in church this morning. He knows. He knows everything. There's not anything that Jesus doesn't know. Amen? And why would we run to the world for their counsel? If it's good counsel, it'll never exalt itself above this word. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 8:11, it says, for God's wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared to her. Now, look at it again. Blessed is the man who walks, that's the everyday decisions, in the counsel or the, not in the counsel or the wisdom of the ungodly. Now, look at this one. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Boy, I'll tell you, that is a great word. That is a today, now word, right now. You know, I don't know about you, but I was a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, aren't you? And I had a very well-worn path. Every day that I woke up, I walked in sin. I judged other people. I might tell a lie if I needed to. Do you understand? I know you never did any of that. No, Boy, every day we must make sure that we are on the right or the correct path. See, sinners, like I said, they go down that path every day. They have a path all of their own. God says, man, don't get on that path. Remember what Moses said there in the book of Hebrews, back when he was in Pharaoh's house, and he walked out of Pharaoh's house. He walked away from the riches of Egypt. And he said, you know what? I want to be with God's people. Even if they're suffering, I want to be with them, and rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin or the passing pleasures of sin. You know, sin can have pleasure, but it's temporary. It always will get you in trouble. And if you go down the road of the sinner's path, I'm telling you, you're going to have all kinds of trouble in your life. What did Jesus tell us? He said, every person in the world, every person, doesn't matter what race you are, what nation you're in, every person in the world can only be on one or two roads. You're either walking and going down the narrow way, which leads to life. Amen. It says that very few people get on that road. And he says, and then there is the broad way. You know the broad way. The broad way is any lifestyle will do. I can do whatever I want to do. Any belief system is valid. I make my own rules, and if you don't like it, it's too bad. And the broad way says, hey, well, it's okay with me. We'll accept it. I accept that. That's great. Don't worry about it. But Jesus said, no, if you want life, real life, you have to get on the narrow road. That word narrow means it's restrictive. It means as you go down it, it starts ripping stuff off of you. And you're going, oh, I like that, but oh no, you don't need that. That's just gonna get you in trouble. That's gonna put you in a bad place, man. That's a sinner's path. You don't wanna go down a sinner's path. You wanna go down the narrow road. Why? Because it leads to life. Life. Real life. He said, but oh, many, so many people, they get on the wrong road and they go down the broad way, which leads to destruction. Destruction. I don't want to be in that area. Do you? No, I want to be on the right path. You see, when you go down the narrow road, you're on the right path, and it's the path for your destiny. It's also the place where every victory will take place in your life. If you want to be defeated, get on the broad way, and I'll tell you, there'll be discouragement. And you know what happens? All the junk of you know, the past and all of it, it gets worse and worse and worse because of where it's leading. No, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:14, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Now look at the next one. It says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, meaning a mocker and so forth. If you're going to be wise every day, you have to be careful who you're sitting with. Amen? The word sit there means this, that you are abiding with with the mockers. You're hanging with them. It means that you're enjoying their company. You're always around them. God says, listen, you want to stay as far away from that as you can. I promise you, you will never, ever be blessed by hanging out with those that mock or make sport of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, God gives us a warning. He says, do not be deceived. Boy, I don't want to ever be deceived. Do you? Don't you hate it when you're deceived? When you find out you've been, you know, taken? You know what I mean? No, it says, do not be deceived. Corrupt people. What does it say? Do not be deceived. Let me give you a translation. If you hang out with the losers, you're going to be a loser, okay? No, they corrupt good manners. If you hang out with mockers, they're going to corrupt you. And you know what the word corrupt means? It means to go from a good condition to a worse condition. Like I tell people all the time, if I took a bite out of a big, red, juicy apple right now, and you looked and you said, it's all white and it's juicy. It was wonderful. But if I left it there for 20 minutes, what would happen? It would turn brown. It's corrupt. It's gone from a good condition to a worse condition. And that's what's going to happen. If a Christian starts hanging out, man, with those that are mocking the Lord and making fun of Jesus, who would do that? But I see, you know what? That happens all the time. scoffers and so forth. You know what it says about scoffers in the last days, and we're living in the last days? 2 Peter 3:3 says this, knowing this first, Peter writes, that scoffers, the scornful, okay, will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and listen to what they're going to say. Where is the promise of his coming? How many times have you heard those who make fun of you because you're a believer say, well, when's Jesus going to come? I watch all those people on TV. They're weird, man. You know? When is he coming? I mean, is it next week? Is it next year? I mean, when is he coming? Yeah, he's really coming, right? In other words, they're saying, you see the sun out there? Everything's the same. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Here comes winter, here comes spring. I mean, nothing changes. 2,000 years ago, he made that promise that he's going to come. Did he ever even come the first time? They make sport of you, they and so forth. I mean, I hear it all the time. You know, you've heard it too. Oh yeah, the rapture. What, that is nonsense. The rapture is going to occur? Tell me, oh yeah, there's going to be this horrible 7 years of tribulation on this beautiful earth that we live on. Come on. You think I'm a moron? And then Jesus is going to come back at the end of the tribulation? That's right. Oh no, that's not going to happen. I don't want to hear any more of it. Yeah, he's gone to prepare a place for you. And when he comes back, he'll receive you unto himself. That they say, that's absolute nonsense. They make fun of you. They mock you. That's the world. Who would take advice from that kind of person? Who would take advice from, a Christian would take advice from someone who would ever make sport of the one who died for us? Amen? No. The Bible tells us, it says in Proverbs 21, 24, it says, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. 2016, if you want to be wise, watch out who you're sitting with. Watch out who you're hanging with. They corrupt good morals. God says, don't be deceived about that. Amen? Amen. Boy, that's one of the most, I can't tell you how important that is. I can't tell you how important it is, moms and dads, you're going to send your kids off to college. Boy, they need to know that scripture. The one that I just forgot, they need to know it. You understand? You know what I'm saying? They need to have that into their hearts, man. And you need to say, listen, be careful who you're sitting with, who you're hanging with, who you're going out with, all of those things, because you know what? It's always the Christian that gets corrupted. You know, oh, I'm going to go over here and win them. No, yeah, you hang with that group, you're going to get in trouble. Why? Because you know what? Your flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You don't want to put yourself into a place of temptation. Amen? No, not at all. Now, let's look at the next one here. Verse 2. But his delight, in other words, that man, that woman who loves the Lord, wants to please God, his delight is in the law, meaning the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in this law, or in the word of God, look what he does. He meditates once a month. No. He meditates every day. Look what it says. What does it say? Day and night. That is every day. Every day you're in God's word. Every day. You know what the word meditate means? It means to mutter. Not that old song, you know, hello, mutter, hello. Not that one. Well, the second service liked it, okay? I mean, the first service. Some of you don't even know what that meant. I mean, that was back when I was a little boy, okay? Now, the word mutter means, that's what my grandmother used to do. My grandmother read aloud, okay? She had a magnifying glass, you know, that she would hold a reading glass, and she would read aloud. I thought everybody did that, you know, but that's not how it happens. But back then, that generation, I'm assuming that they read aloud. That's what it means to mutter. You read the word of God every day, every day. And sometimes read it aloud. And the word meditate means to chew it over and over and over and over until you get it in. Now listen to me. Something happens when you read God's word aloud. Have you ever had, like for example, you're on a drive, you're on a vacation or whatever, and you put on your CD or whatever it's called today, 8-track, I know something, you know, and you put the... It is where they read the Bible to you, the whole New Testament. And you'll be driving and you'll say, and you'll stop it and you'll go, is that in the Bible? How come I don't remember that being in the Bible? And all of a sudden you rewind, punch it again, and you go, man. Well, that came because faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. When you start hearing the word of God, something happens. You know, so many times when I am meditating on the word of God to prepare like a sermon here, you know, and so forth, if I'd have meditated on 1 Corinthians 15:33, I wouldn't have forgotten it, right? And you meditate, and I say it out loud. I'll meditate and because I'm praying through it. And like, for example, let's say in Philippians, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes when I'm meditating on that, I'll go, I emphasize certain words. I can. I'll go over, I can do not a few things. I can do what? All things. That word literally in the Greek would read like this. I am equal to anything that I am facing in this life. I can do all things. And the reason I can, through Christ. Amen. There's the emphasis. Through Christ who strengthens me. When you start muttering and going over that and over, something happens every day. Listen, God, every day God's word should be the greatest influence in your life. If we start taking counsel from the world, we're going to end up thinking like the world. And I promise you this. Now listen carefully. Whatever you delight in, is that what it says there in the word? Yes. Delight in his word. Delight in his law. God's word. Whatever you delight in 2016 will direct your life. Do you hear me? Whatever you're going to delight in, whatever your heart, if you delight in it, that's what's going to lead you in 2016. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, it says that your word is a lamp. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. How in the world can we walk through the darkness if we don't have God's light? The word of God. See, it lights up our path. We go, oh, I know how to, I'm not going to stumble there. Why? God's word is telling us how we should walk down in this world. Every day, go to your lamp. Every day. Listen, God's word, God's lamp never goes out. It never goes out. And here's what the word of God will do. Now, loved one, listen to me. God's word will never, ever, ever lead you astray. It'll never cause you to do wrong. Amen? It'll never. And listen, God's word, when you obey it, it pleases the Lord because it gives you life. It gives you strength. The moment you walk out and obey the word, all of a sudden the power comes, the power to obey whatever God is commanding you to do. The Bible says in Job, he says, I have treasured the very words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Think about that. Job said, I want God's word more than I want to eat. Listen, we live in a don't I say that word listen a lot? You know, my radio editor says, would you stop that? I hear these voices when I'm preaching. It's almost got me trained, you know? Now, that wasn't the Holy Spirit, by the way. We can live, believe it or not, it's going to be hard on some of us, but we can live in this life without texting all day. I know that's hard. Not for me, because I can't see those little letters anyway. But now you can speak it. Do you know what I mean? You just punch a button, you can talk it, and it'll do it for you. That's pretty cool. But you can live without texting. You can live without a tweet, tweets, whatever that is. You can live without your email. You can live without your iPad. You can live without being on Facebook. Amen? You can even live without Siri, believe it or not. But listen to me now. You, me, Christian, you can't live without God's word. See, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he says that man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by bread alone. How do you live then? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need every word, amen? And that's what God wants us to do. If you neglect God's word, listen carefully. If you neglect God's word, if you don't do verse 1 and verse 2, and you can do it by God's grace and by his power, not difficult on those verses. If you don't do those first two verses, you'll never get to verse 3 in 2016. Look at it. The person who does verse 1 and verse 2 shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf, that means not even one leaf, also shall not wither. And whatever he does, whatever she does, shall prosper. That's a great scripture, isn't it? You want to prosper in 2016? It doesn't mean that, you know, for us to, I'm not talking about being greedy or something, but prosper in all that we do. You know, we're, there's nothing greater than having good success at God gives. Amen? But it says, you'll be like a tree, a planted tree. Now, if I go down to the nursery and buy a tree and take it home and plant it in my yard, that means I'm the owner of that tree. Amen? We'll see that a planted tree in the Bible is speaking of ownership. It's speaking of a purchased possession. We're God's purchased possession. Amen? We're bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So God says, I own you. You're my possession, and I love you, and I planted you, and that's what we need. Boy, we're chosen. You know, what did Jesus tell us in John 15, 16? Jesus said, you know what? You didn't choose me, but I chose you. You know, God wants to choose. God has actually chosen everyone, but few people choose him. Jesus loves us. God loves us. Boy, Jesus, I chose you. I want you. I came for you. He's coming again for us. No, 2016, it says like a tree planted, and look at that now, by rivers of water. That's plural. Rivers is plural. It means you never have, it never dries up on you. Never dries up. Every day in 2016, every day, you have a never-ending supply from God. You say, Bill, how is that possible? Well, you know what? The Bible tells us how. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. David made it personal. He said, you're my shepherd. Do you ever tell the Lord that? I pray that prayer. I pray Psalm 23, as we've already been taught here, every morning. Every day, sometimes I pray three, four times, five times during the day, plus, you know, our corporate prayer, our Father which art in heaven. But the Lord, he is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. He daily loads me with benefits from heaven. Amen? No, he said, he leadeth me beside still waters. He knows exactly where to plant me. And the Bible even tells us there in the later, when David said, you know, at the end of it, he said, listen, and goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. That means every day of your life. Goodness and mercy will follow you. The word follow there in the Hebrew means hot pursuit. It's hunting you down. It's overtaking you. That's the word of God. Do you believe it? I believe it with all of my heart. Of course, also when we speak of water in God's word, we're speaking of the Holy Spirit, that living water that flows out of believers and so forth. You know, a lot of times, especially this time during the year, some of you, I pray you're not depressed or, you know, having those blue Mondays and all that. Sometimes that happens with us. But, you know, if we're not doing what God says, you know, we can really get in trouble. You know, like you may be saying this morning, you know, Bill, all this water, the truth is I am so dry. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm lifeless every day. Every day I'm in the same rut. Every day it is the same for me. If you don't listen, hear anything else I have to say in this sermon, this is the one you want to listen to right now. Remember, spiritual dryness is a direct result of trusting the wrong person. You hear me? Spiritual dryness is a direct result of trusting the wrong person. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Here's the promise. He shall direct your paths. See, God wants to direct you. And boy, it's so important that we're trusting the Lord in all that we're doing. That's how important that it is. Not taking advice from the world. No. Listen to Jeremiah 17:5. God gives a word to Judah because Judah quit trusting in the Lord and they started trusting in Egypt and all their allies for strength and so forth. And the Lord says to them, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. God said, you're cursed if you do that. Isn't it horrible? He says, whose heart departs from the Lord. Did you know you can't trust God and man at the same time? It's a divided heart. You have to trust the Lord. And God goes on to say, if you're not going to trust me, listen to what he says. He says, for he shall be, the man that doesn't trust God, will be like a shrub in the desert. That doesn't get any worse than that, does it? I mean, hello, a shrub, a dried up shrub in the desert without, there's no water there. He says, and it'll not even see good when it comes. You're going to miss the good that God is bringing into your life because you're not walking every day trusting the Lord. He says, but you shall inhabit the parched places, those dry places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited, meaning it's not able to support any kind of life at all. The horrible results of not trusting God. Every day you're going to make a decision. Every day you're going to make a decision. Who are you going to trust? Boy, I tell you, we need to trust the Lord. Listen to what he says to those who trust God. He says in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted. We're right back like in Psalm 1. He'll be like a tree planted. Remember, God owns us. He planted us. He said by the waters, that never-ending supply of water, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, and its leaf will be green. It'll not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I want to be by the waters that God is going to lead me to. Because where we drink out of is exactly what we need at the specific time. We leave this place, you know, we leave one river and we go right to the next. That's why the only way you can get there is every day you have to trust the Lord. He's the one who leadeth you beside still waters, not troubled waters, but still waters. Our shepherd knows where to take us, amen? Now, let's go back and look at verse 4 now. It says there, and whatever he does will prosper, but the ungodly are not so. Isn't it weird that God, he only gives two words to describe their life. It's not going to happen for them. They're going to be dry. They're spiritually dry, even now, if people that don't know the Lord. Remember how it was when we didn't know Christ, before we came to the Lord? Remember that we were looking for a watering hole, if you will, a place to drink out of because we were never satisfied, so we would drink here, and then after it satisfied us for a little bit, but then later, I'm tired of it. And we'd run to this, we'd run to that, or this, whatever it is in life, thinking if I just have this or that person or this, then I'm going to be happy. Everything's going to work out. And then we find out that we're still dry, we're still parched. Listen, only Jesus can satisfy us. Only Jesus can satisfy a man, satisfy a woman. So here they are. God says, you know what? They're ungodly. What does that mean? It means that they could be good people, hardworking people, pay their taxes, vote Republican, you know, all the rest of it. But the fact is, if a person doesn't know Christ, they are dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. They have physical life, but they don't have any spiritual life. They just go through the activities of life. They call that living. Listen, you don't know how to live until you follow Christ. You don't know what real living is until you come home to Jesus. I'll tell you, that's what it's all about. See, God loves us so much, he died for the ungodly. That's what we were. It says in Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died because he loves us. It says in Romans 5:8, but God proves or demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. The Bible says in Psalm 1, it says the ungodly, those that don't know the Lord, don't want anything to do with him. He says, oh gosh, this is so bad. Look what he says. He says, they're like chaff, which the wind drives away. The storms of life blow through on them and everything. They lose this, lose it, go through all kinds of hell in their life and so forth. God says, no, they're just like chaff. The chaff on the wheat, remember, you can rub it in your hand and let the wind will blow the chaff away. It's good for nothing. No, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, when I read that, it breaks my heart. Because I know that there are people, good people, hardworking people. They have already passed. And they're not going to make it. I mean, that's heartbreaking to me, for a person not to be born from above, to not know the Lord. God doesn't hate anyone. God's not. Listen, God loves us. Amen? God is love. You know, like I told the first service, listen, there's not a person, you know, you go down here to Ruby's beer joint or whatnot, the tavern, and they could be drinking right now. I don't know what time the bars open on Sunday. What time, you know, but. And, you know, they could be just wasted right now. But God doesn't hate that person. They could be in bondage to addiction after addiction, whatever it is. He doesn't hate that person. God loves that person. And it breaks his heart. He says, you know what? You're not going to stand. It says you're not going to stand. The ungodly are not going to stand in the judgment. He says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What does that mean? It means in that day when, and we all are going to have that judgment. When you have that great white throne judgment, the book of Revelation chapter 20 talks about, when that occurs, when we stand before the Lord, those that don't know the Lord, and the books are open, we give an account of our life. It means they're going to stand there. And God says, I opened the books, and you know what? Your name's not in it. You didn't want me. And in that day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's you know, and so forth. For the Lord knows. He knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, what's going to happen to them? They're going to perish. That's a big word. That's a horrible word to me. It means that they're going to be eternally separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Can you imagine closing your eyes? All of us, loved one, I love you. Listen, we're all going to, if the rapture doesn't occur, we're all going to have that final step. It's there. The steps of a good man are established or ordered by the Lord. It's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Listen, there's a one day I'm going to, if the Lord tarries and we're not taken out here, there's one day I'm going to have a final step. That's it. That was my last step. There's a calendar moment, a calendar time. And if I did not know Jesus Christ, it says that I would perish. That means that when I close my eyes in death, I would be eternally separated from God. All of God's goodness, all of God's peace, everything that God is, all of his love, for God is love, forever separated, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When I hear pastors or stand in the pulpit and say that God hates people, it kills me. It says in John 3:16, we open with that, it says, for God so what? Hated the world? No, maybe he liked the world a little bit. It says not just loved, it says so loved. God so loved the world. Not trees and rivers and the mountains and the world, people in the world, every race, every color, rich, poor, every person, mean people, unlovely people, people that are every day they lie or cheat. He loves everyone. You can't stop God from loving you. No matter what you do, you can't stop God from loving you. Isn't that amazing? He loves the sinner down there just as much as he loves you and me. Well, Bill, that's not fair. Yes, it is. You didn't deserve God's love, and I didn't deserve it either. But he loves me. There's not one thing I can do to make him not love me or to stop loving me. See, God's love never changes. It says in Malachi 3:8, I am the Lord God. I changeth not. God never changes. His love doesn't go up or down. It's perfectly constant all the time. When he looks at you right now and he looks at that person that's in bad trouble out in the world, he goes, I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. I don't want you to ever perish. I want you to be in heaven with me forever. He says, for God so loved the world. That's the object of God's love. It says that he did something. He loved you. He loved me so much. He said, here's my son. Here's my only son. I want to put him in your place. I want to let him be born and grow up. He came to die, but you were born to live. He's going to grow up. He's going to be perfect. He's going to be sinless. Everything that he does is going to please the Father, God said. And they're going to take him and they're going to beat him senseless. They're going to rip his back open. They're going to put him upon a cross. And then I, God, he says, I am going to let him be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I'm going to put all of the world's sin upon him. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He took our sin. He took our punishment. He took our guilt and our shame. See, there's nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can do to be saved. I hear it all the time. Well, God saved me because I'm a good person. No, he didn't. You know, crummy and dummy. No, there's nothing you can do to be saved except one thing. There's not one work you can do to come to Christ. Not one. The only thing you can do is do what the Bible says. That if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. But it's more than just saying it. You have to also, it says, and believe in your heart. Oh, Lord, I believe that God raised him from the dead. God promised in his word, if you will confess Christ as your Lord, your personal Savior, and ask him to come into your heart, he said, I'll save you. That's all we can do. We don't have to get good enough. He's the only one who can make us good. He's the only one that can change our life. He's the only one who can stop us from living a life of sin. The flesh can't do that. No. I say, Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm not going to perish. Where do you stand this morning? You that are listening live, maybe the overflow room, whatever. Where do you really stand? I mean, you know, is Jesus the Lord of your life? I mean, can you imagine living for this world? Living for this world. It doesn't say in Psalm verse 1, does it say blessed? Oh, happy. That word means, oh, happy, to be envied. How fortunate. Blessed is the man who lives for this world. No. Listen, 1 John 2:17 says this world is passing away. It's gone, man. It's not going to make it. Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, they will never pass away. This world that we're living on is not, this is not going to be the home, and it's over with. And it's going to burn. It's going to go. No. This, it says the world is passing away. Here it is. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Can you imagine taking that final step? And all of a sudden, you step out of this world right into eternity, and there is heaven. There is Christ. There is your loved ones. Think about that for a moment. And we're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. You're gonna see the face of God, it says. He's going to put his name on your forehead. Listen, the one who made, created it all, who named the stars and put them where he wants them to be, you're going to be home. And it's going to be forever and ever. You'll not have one sad thought. There will not be one tear in your eye. You'll never have pain again. Death will never be in your language, your vocabulary. It's over and over and over. You want to live for the world that's passing away? Oh, listen. No, you better live for what's going to last. And that's Jesus Christ. He abideth forever. You know, the Bible tells us, and I know it's time to go, and I am closing, believe it or not. I am. See then that you walk circumspectly, very carefully in 2016. Very carefully. Redeeming the time. Buying up every opportunity. Why? For every day is filled with evil. Loved one, listen now. I say this all the time, but I like to say it. Live. Live in 2016. Don't take your baggage from 2015 or 1950 or any, don't take that with you anymore. Jesus has paid for our sins. Amen? Don't worry about what might have been, could have been, should have been. Live. Life is short. You are only a vapor, man. Live with all of your heart. Live every day in 2016. Walk in love every day in 2016. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? He tells us as well. It's a commandment, the new commandment. He said in John 13, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. He says that ye love one another. And you know that's not the new part, because those disciples and us as well, we knew that was an Old Testament law, Leviticus 19, 18. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another. And here's the new part. You love one another now as I have loved you, to the same degree that I loved you, washed your feet, took care of you, never left you. You love each other like that, to the same degree. He says, and when you do this, by this, all the world will know that you are my disciples. Live every day. Love every day. And by all means, everything that you do every day, walk in faith. God will never let you down. He will never relax his hold upon you. Never. Faith is what pleases God. Nothing else. Father, we praise you and we thank you that Jesus is the reason for this season. And Lord, this morning, those that are listening live and those in the overflow and those that are present, if Jesus Christ is not the Lord of their life, if they've never said, Jesus, be come into my heart, save me, I pray they do so right this minute, that they just cry out to him. And Lord, I pray after the song is over that we're about to sing, that they come to this altar and say, listen, I just asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Matter of fact, let's just do this right now. If you don't know Christ, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and you say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want you to pray this prayer with me right this minute. Church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I heard your truth. You promised that if I confessed with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, and really believed in my heart that you raised him from the dead, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. In Jesus' name. I'm saved. Every head bowed, no one looking around. Quickly, if that's you, you don't have to get out of your seat. No one's going to pick on you, embarrass you. This is between you and God now. If you prayed that prayer and if you believed it in your heart, would you lift your hand up to the Lord and put it right back down? God bless you there. God bless you, sir. That's right. Anyone else say, God bless you. I see that. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, I prayed that prayer. God bless you. I see that. And I believed in my heart right then, and I am now saved. Anyone else before I close now? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. There's no one like you. We love you. We praise you. Bless your people. Keep your people. Prosper your people. Be so real to them. Let them draw nigh to you, and you will draw nigh unto them. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen.